We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
A reminder, Cal fans, that we're happy to announce the introduction of the California Golden Bears app. Now, in that app, you can add your season tickets to your mobile wallet, as well as purchase additional tickets, resell, or transfer your tickets to a friend. The app is available now at both Google Play and the Apple Store. Well, joining us now is a senior, been around the program for a while, been around the East Bay for a long time, like all his life. Marcel Dancy, a senior, 5'11". We'll give you the extra inch there today, 205. And coming up this week, a huge conference opening game against the Washington Huskies. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's just talk about coming back for this last year. Everybody got that additional COVID year, and you decided to take advantage of it. Why was it that you decided to come back?
Just because, just to come back and finish what, me and my teammates started, and also put more things on tape for the next level to see, and, just add to my resume as I get ready for the next level.
You guys got a deep running back room, and Coach Wilcox has mentioned in the past that he feels that all of you guys bring something a little bit different to the table. Okay. So if that's the case, what in your mind do you bring to the table?
I feel like I'm just a versatile back, all around back, and we'll do anything the team needs me to help them win.
Well, one of the things that you've done at one of your best games for the Bears was 2 years ago in Seattle, the lightning game, 2-hour and 39-minute delay. You had 2 touchdown runs in that game in the second half as you really got the running game going in that second half and held off the Huskies at the end to win that one. What do you remember about that night in Seattle?
Just during the delay, the team and I, we just remained focused. A lot of things were going on, but we didn't let that waver us. We just stayed focused. And it didn't matter what time of the night it was. We just wanted to come W. So that's all we were focused.
Yeah, the game didn't end until 1:30 in the morning. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, that lightning storm kind of hit them out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think Seattle very rarely gets lightning. They get a lot of rain, but lightning is different. When you first saw that first strike or two of lightning, what was going through your mind?
I'm not really used to lightning either. So, you know, it was we end up hearing that that hasn't happened in a long time, even in Washington. And like I said, we just remain focused regardless of what was going on.
You did remain focused, no question about it. Debbie Schramm, who does so many things for the football team, I guess was busy making you guys peanut butter and jelly sandwiches so you could eat a little bit, make sure you had some petrol in you. I mean, you're all cramped into that locker room, not knowing if you're even going to play again. I mean, there was some talk that the game was just going to be flat out canceled, not even rescheduled. I mean, what was it like in that locker room with just the unknown factor of whether or not you were going to play or not?
Just the mindset and the philosophy that Coach Wilcox instilled in us is, you know, just regardless of what's happening, whether we play or not, whether it's the next day or that night, you know, just to stay ready. So, you know, we're all just keeping each other's minds focused, all stretching, just being ready for whatever's next, you know, just keeping our knees bent and being ready to go.
You know, two of the coaches, one of which was Coach Wilcox, the other was offensive line coach at the time, Steve Greatwade, had some experience with a lightning delay. I don't know if they relayed that to you guys during that delay or not, but I think Steve was still at Oregon. And Justin, I think, was the defensive coordinator at Tennessee when those two teams played each other. And they had a lightning delay back in Tennessee. I don't know if they relayed that to you guys or not. So at least you had somebody in the room that knew what was going on.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until you just told me. But
oh, really?
Yeah, they, you know, they always know how to keep us together and keep us focused on what we're doing. Like I said, you know, we weren't unwavered at all, and, you know, just focus on keeping the W and going home with that.
Well, that'll be big this week. You get the conference play off to a rousing start against the Huskies in Seattle. We'll be on with the pregame show beginning at 5:30, kickoff shortly after 6:30 Pacific time. Let's go back to that running room and running back room. Who would you say has got the best speed? If you all lined up in a 40-yard dash, who wins that?
I'll have to go with myself. You know, I'll have to go with myself.
You might win the quickness factor, too, because you got quicks into the hole and in and out of the hole as well. You might win that the little shuttle thing as well. Who squats the most and who has the best bench press?
Who squats the most? It's actually always a battle between me and Chris Brown. We still haven't seen it, but, you know, you would have to ask the strength coaches on that one.
Okay. Well, Chris has got some size on you. So one of the things I noticed in fall practice this year, I mean, you've really worked on your legs a lot. I mean, you're what we call a thick running back. How much time and effort do you spend on developing those legs and maintaining that speed, quickness, but still have power to break tackles?
You know, the strength staff has done a great job of, you know, helping me put weight on, getting to that 205, but still increasing my speed. And, you know, just the strength of my legs, you know, that just, you know, comes from my family. I'm just, you know, genetics did that for me. So I just still enhancing those and, you know, building upon, you know, my body.
Who's got the thighs and the calves in the family?
Both my parents.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So give them some credit. Let's talk about a little bit about the importance of this game to get off to a good start in Seattle against the Huskies. It's not an easy venue, but it's a place where you won the last time. So you got to have a little confidence going up there, I would think.
Yeah, we just have to focus on the momentum that we built coming off last week and, you know, just stay gelled, stay focused. The crowd noise is always going to be there in Washington. So just being focused and just being there for each of our teammates and, you know, helping each other get the win, because at the end all be all, that's all that matters.
Exactly right. Get the W. Any style points, not important. You've been on a lot of things off the field in the community of Oakland, and you've been justly rewarded as well. I think it was 2019 you were named to that All-State American Football Coaches Association Good Works Team. That's a very prestigious honor, and you were able to go to the Sugar Bowl that year as well to check out that game. And also, you know, you've won the Ted Agu Award. You've won the Stubb Allison Award. That goes that strength and conditioning that you talked about as well. And you were also the nominated for the Burlsworth Award. That's given to a guy that started his career as a walk-on. Let's talk about, first of all, being a walk-on, and what is the mentality of a walk-on when you come into a program? You were very familiar with the Cal program for a long time, Burl Toler, you know, Marshawn Lynch, of course, the whole deal there. But what's it like coming in as a walk-on?
I just carry that same hunger that I always had. Like you said, Burl Toler, you know, that's my big brother. Yeah. He gave me a call and gave me an opportunity, and that's all I needed, because I knew, you know, once I got on this campus, what I would bring to the table. So I didn't look at it as, you know, somebody with stars or somebody as a walk-on. I just looked at it as being able to play ball where I want to play that and increase my opportunities.
Does a walk-on have to prove himself a little bit more? Do you feel that? I mean, because you tend to start low on the depth chart because scholarship guys generally kind of get the first looks, but do you have to work a little extra hard and prove yourself?
Well, yeah, I would say that for, you know, just in a general sense for walk-ons. But, you know, personally speaking, that's my mindset regardless, you know, to work to be the best on the field, regardless of who you are, what your name is, and, you know, your background. That's where I strive to be every day.
I'm sure you followed C.J. Anderson throughout his career, played in the National Football League, went to a couple of Super Bowls, then came back and helped out with the program for a little while. Now he's a head coach at the high school level. Do you still keep in contact with C.J.?
He still keeps in contact with our running backs group and, you know, watches us and still, you know, is, you know, following us. So, yeah. So it's been good that he came back, you know, gave knowledge that he did. And, you know, we took that knowledge in and went from there.
He was kind of a guy about your size, too. I mean, he was about maybe a little under, so he's probably 5'10", 5'11", but thick as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's one of my favorite guys. He's just the nicest guy in the world. I remember when he was with Denver and had won a Super Bowl, we were playing a basketball game against Colorado in Boulder. And sure enough, I look back in the stands and there's CJ rooting on the Bears in Boulder, had the Cal polo shirt on, wasn't afraid to show his loyalty to the Bears. We had him on as the halftime guest as well. Just a great kid. And it's great to see a young guy from the East Bay succeed like he has as well. Tell us a little bit more about your off-the-field charity work. I know that you're still involved with the Oakland Dynamites youth football group and cheer squad. How did you get involved with that? And what do you do? What are you trying to get done there?
Well, as far as the Oakland Dynamites go, how I got started is, you know, we have some family that have been involved with the Dynamites for a long time, coaching or playing. And, you know, I just wanted to get back around everybody and, you know, just help the youth the best I can. And that's kind of been my main focus off the field, is just helping as many of the youth as I can and, you know, just teach them lessons at an earlier age than I might have or somebody else might know. And, you know, just help them put the best foot forward and, you know, just succeed and chase their dreams.
So your role, is it more of teaching life skills as opposed to tackling and blocking and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel those go hand in hand. So, you know, I definitely, you know, give them the game about football, but also, you know, when they need an outlet, I'm there.
Yeah, you're doing a terrific job there as well. And then you were involved in that Burkholder Elementary Fund drive. That was that in 2019 or 2020?
That was 2020 when COVID, in the peak of COVID.
Of COVID. Tell us about how that program worked and how successful it was for you.
Yeah, so me and, you know, the staff at Burkholder, we all came together and put together this fundraiser for all the kids that, you know, might be having a hard time, you know, putting food on the table or, you know, just anything, you know, with the hardships of the pandemic. So, you know, we gave them each, as many kids as we could, $100 food cards for the family, you know, just put extra groceries in the refrigerator. And, you know, we end up raising over $20,000. And then, you know, the next fundraiser I helped with was the Oakland Public Education Fund, it was Giving Tuesday, right before January 1st. And we raised over $70,000.
Oh, that is just, what is it about you or your family that makes you want to do those things?
You know, I was raised on, you know, each one teach one and, you know, reaching back, you know, every chance you got to, you know, uplift the next. And, you know, whenever you have a chance to help somebody, always take that.
Yeah, you're one of a number of players on the team that I know Elijah Hicks is involved in a lot of things as well. I mean, it's just great to see you guys give back to the community, in your case, where you came from, and to help out so many people, especially the young people. I mean, they got to get off to a good start, right? I mean, if they get off to a bad start, I mean, it's just really tough to turn around. But if you can get them off to a good start, and as you mentioned, giving them groceries, I mean, you know, they get food at school, but boy, when COVID hit, there was no school. I mean, it's also virtual teaching. So they needed something to put in their stomachs. And, you know, guys like you doing such a terrific job of doing that. Hats off to you and what you and some of the other guys are doing to get some of that stuff done. You know, I know you mentioned that you'd like to play at the next level somehow, some way, and we wish you the best on that. But when football comes to an end, what does the future hold for Marcel Dancy?
You know, just building upon what I'm doing with the youth and you know, building upon, you know, some of my entrepreneurial background and, you know, things that I'm trying to create for the future and you know, for a lot of people, you know, definitely not just for myself, but for the masses.
Talk about some of the startups that you're kind of interested in.
So, yeah, right now, me, Elijah Hicks, Coin Dang have came together and created the Berkeley Student Athletes Agency, which is a branding agency for this new realm of, you know, student athletes being able to be compensated and, you know, receive money for the name, image, and likeness. So, you know, we're getting that off the ground. We're trying to pioneer that as student athletes starting, you know, the first athletes agency for branding themselves. And then also, you know, another business that I'm starting is going to do with physical therapy, you know, wherever you go. So, well, I'm excited about both those, and I'm excited, you know, that they're making the momentum that they are. And, you know, I can't wait to show everybody what we're doing.
I know it's late in your career, but the name, image, and likeness has hit us. Chase seems to be one of the ringleaders in that as well. He has a couple of things. I think he's got a drink and maybe some dress shirts and some other things. Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts about it? I mean, it took a long time for this to happen, but now you're taking advantage of it.
It did. It took a long time, but, you know, I'm glad it's here now for not just us, but for the future athletes to come. And, you know, it's a great thing. I know it took a long time. It was a long battle between, you know, opposing parties, but finally came together and got it done. So that's the best part.
Well, it came good enough for you, good enough for you. And this will help you going forward, if nothing else. I mean, it'll get you started, you know, a year or two earlier than maybe you would have had the opportunity if this had not come along. So it's great. And I'm glad you're taking advantage of it as well. And take advantage of that Husky defense as well this week too, as you try to get that third straight win over the Huskies and two straight in Seattle. Stay healthy and good luck this week.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
You betcha. Marcel Dancy, senior running back for the Bears, to take on the Huskies. 6:30 kickoff. We'll be on the air with the pregame show beginning at 5:30. So for Coach Will Cox and Marcel Dancy, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for listening as always. And a reminder, go Bears. Good night, everybody. Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Opening of conference play for the Bears this week in football as they head up to Seattle to take on the Washington Huskies. A little bit later on, we'll hear from senior running back Marcel Dancy, get his thoughts about how the season is going, and also kind of reflect back on his big game 2 years ago. He had a couple of touchdowns as the Bears defeated the Huskies in Seattle in that lightning-delayed game. Final was 20-19, and Marcel had two electrifying touchdowns to help the Bears pull out the victory. Before we hear from the head coach, I want to remind you that the Bears will be back in action at FTX Field at California Memorial Stadium Saturday, October 2nd. That'll be homecoming against Washington State. Game time is 2:30 against the Cougars of Washington State. So for tickets, log on to calbears.com/tickets or call the box office at 1-800-GO-BEARS. All right, joining us now is head coach Justin Wilcox. Coach, just your thoughts as you look back at the tape, big win over Sacramento State. The offense got it rolling, and you got your first win of the year.
Yep, it's great to get a win and, you know, learn some lessons with a victory under our belt. I think the big picture view offensively, had some really, really strong drives and moments, and kind of had some self-inflicted wounds there when we, you know, didn't finish those drives, but things that we feel like we can correct. There were some big plays made across the offense at receiver, tight end, running back. Chase had some really good moments. The pass protection for the second week in a row was really, really good. We had some solid, good run game going, and a number of different guys getting their hands on the ball. And if we just can clean up some of those unforced errors, we can probably be even more efficient and score at a greater clip. But it was great to get, you know, a bunch of points and get some help from the kick return team, which was really a big play in the game coming out of halftime with the KOR unit and Nico and the frontline guys doing a nice job. Coach Regal having a really good scheme prepared. And I thought we punted the ball pretty good. The couple punts that we had, punter did a nice job. And defensively, played well enough to win. However, not up to the standard that I think our players and coaches and we would all expect from us. And we have a lot of room for improvement there. We feel like the players on the team have the ability to improve. And we're going to need to do that each and every day and each and every week so we can maximize our potential as a defense and as a team.
Could you clean up a rule situation? Maybe some of the fans were watching or listening to the game, maybe didn't understand. It was a kickoff, and you had one player call for a fair catch and another guy actually catch the ball and then start to run. What's the rule there?
Yeah, once you've made the fair catch signal, they're going to deem it a fair catch. And it was a miscommunication between the upback and the returner, which has to be addressed on our end. And so the guy that's the decision maker, he will be the one to either fair catch it or not. And so there's one executive in that moment. And there was a miscommunication on the return. So.
And then the other thing about that is that if you call for the fair catch and make the fair catch, the ball goes to the 25 yard line, assuming that the kick was inside the 25 yard line, if it's outside the 25 line, that's the spot of the reception, but you got to catch the ball too. I mean, if you don't catch the ball and it goes on the ground, then it's just, you know, whoever recovers, yeah, that's where the ball goes, right?
Correct. We had that come up in 2017 down at USC. I think the opening kickoff, we made a fair catch signal, didn't field it cleanly, and had the ball inside our own five. So okay. When you fair catch it, you have to catch the ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also in this game, and it's been a trend that we've seen so far this season offensively from your team, is chunk plays. What do you consider chunk plays, both in the run game and in the pass game? Because I just used 20 yards primarily in the passing game, and I had you guys for six plus the kickoff return. But what do you use as chunk plays, and why the reason are we seeing more chunk plays this year from your offense?
Well, you know, the reason is, we're executing them at a better rate, you know, where whether it's the throw and the catch, it also has to do with the guys executing those throws and catches. You know, I think we got some more explosive guys on the team who can get behind some people. And so that always helps when you run the ball effectively and you create certain coverages in the defense, then you have some more opportunities to get it over the top of them. So all of that will play into it. We've gone round and round about how we do explosive plays, and sometimes the offense and the defense will treat them a little bit differently. As a team, I was like, is it over a 15 yard play? That's a big play. Now our offense will look at 12 in a run, 15 in a pass. But, you know, to me, if you gain more than 15 yards, that's a chunk play. And so that's how, just to make it very simple for myself against the other team, I'll look at it that way. But our offense has some specific goals, and they adjust them just a little bit for their goal board, which is fine.
Yeah, because if you went plus 12 in a run and 15 overall, you'd have had a lot more. I didn't add those in there because you had a bunch of runs that went in that 12 to 15 to 18 yard category as well. Conversely, though, on the other side, Sacramento State had a bunch of chunk plays as well, not factoring in like pass interferences.
Yeah.
What did you see that they were doing well or you weren't doing well that enabled them to do that?
Well, there was a number of things, Todd. I think in way too many chunk plays given up by the defense, and I think four pass interference, which is a 15-yard variety penalties. And when you add all that up, it's gonna you're not gonna have a good day defensively. And you know, they had some. We knew they'd have good scheme, and they had some good skill on the perimeter. However, it was a number of things defensively that we didn't play very well. And that, you know, kind of anywhere from being in phase on the receiver and having the comfort to look back and play the ball so we can either go up and intercept it and take it out of the air, which we had a couple chances to possibly do, or make a play and knock it down. We had some eye control issues, and a couple guys who have played quite a bit here and had a couple eye control issues where they got lost looking at a motion, didn't play with great disciplined eyes, and gave up a couple big plays in the safety position. And then when we played some more corner support coverage, we got beat on our landmarks on our play action pass by our underneath coverage. The two inside linebackers and the nickel got beat a handful of times with some poor angles and not maybe transitioning what they did in practice to the game. So maybe seeing too much and not narrowing their focus. So a number of different issues in the coverage that showed up that need to be fixed. And also we have to, they're going to throw the ball that many times. We have to affect the passer as rushers. You know, there's only so many times you're going to, you know, be able to blitz them and get a free runner. What you're looking for is how many times can you win the one-on-one blocks? You know, if our nose or our three technique's getting doubled, okay, he's going to have a tough down and he might need to push the pocket. But if we get a one-on-one block on the perimeter on the edge, or we get a one-on-block with a three technique, we got to, you know, make something happen during the game, and to go through the game and them throw the ball that many times and not impact the passer as much as we didn't. And that was an issue as well. So just a number of things. And it wasn't one position. It was a team effort on defense that wasn't quite good enough.
You know, one thing that has been really good for your team through the first three games is the start to the games. The first quarter has been really good for you. You know, it's particularly offensively. Of course, defense has to give you the ball back as well. But I think you've outscored the opposition 34-6 in the first quarter this year. And it seems like the first two drives offensively have either resulted in points, or in the case of TCU, you had a chance on fourth and one, maybe to take the points or maybe to push it in and get a touchdown. What's been the key to those quick starts?
You know, what we'd like to do is do that every drive, you know, and same thing on defense. I mean, that's the idea. Is there a reason for that? You could probably, you know, I don't want to overstate it. I think it's guys coming out, being ready to execute and doing it well, you know, having some good game plan things in offensively and defensively. But now we got to sustain it. You can't run a new play every play. You know, there's got to be we got to do some repetitive things, and then you got to sustain. And we haven't done that well enough. We did it better on offense this past week, not good enough on defense, not near good enough on defense. And so that's where we just got to take the next step and being able to sustain that performance throughout the game.
Well, and that'll be all the more important as you enter conference play against the Huskies this week, taking on the Huskies in Seattle. We'll be on the air with a pregame show beginning at 5:30, kickoff a little after 6:30 Pacific time in the 100th meeting, centennial meeting between these two longtime rivals. You got to go back to 1916 when what is now the Pac-12 conference was originally initiated in the Benson Hotel in Portland, Oregon. You had four teams jump on board, and Cal and Washington were two of the first four teams in what is now the conference. Before we talk specifically about the Huskies, what do you see with the conference so far this year? Because it's been really tough sledding at times, and yet there've been some tremendous victories. UCLA beat LSU, and Oregon defeated Ohio State, but there's only one undefeated team after 3 weeks as we enter conference play. What have you seen from the conference?
Other than watching Washington, I haven't watched many of the other games, Todd, so I'm probably not going to be much help to you. You know, I think there's good football And it's also, there's a lot of parity. It's each and every week. And I think really throughout the country, I mean, it's, you know, maybe there's a few teams that can have a bad day and still win, but there's not many. And I think it's just very, very competitive out there. And you got to be able, the consistency and the improvement throughout the season is key. And that's no different for us. And so that's what we're focused on. And but I can't, be hard for me to maybe speak on the teams in depth just because I've only been watching Washington.
All right. Speaking of the Huskies, 1-2, they got stunned on the opening game of the season. Montana beat them 13-7. Created an incredible uproar, as you might expect, because you've been on that Washington coaching staff and you know what the fan passion is like in Seattle for the Huskies. And then they went back to Michigan and offensively couldn't get anything going. Michigan beat them pretty good, 31-10. And then this past week, they seemed to get things going against Arkansas State, 52-3. So what have you seen on tape from the Huskies?
Yeah, I don't know that the first game's indicative of, you know, what their team is. What I see is some very, very talented guys on the roster. I mean, they've recruited well for a long time each week. I think they had moments in the Washington or the Michigan game where, you know, maybe it was a timely penalty or Michigan put together a drive at the right time. So the game maybe didn't go as it could have for Washington. But when you watch the players and you see the scheme, I mean, again, there's, you know, four out of the five guys up front for them are all conference performers, NFL type linemen, the tight ends, a first team all conference guy. The quarterback's a good player. They got skill at receiver. So it showed up this past week on offense where they, you know, went up and down the field at ease, scored 52. And defensively, I think they had 9 out of 11 starters back, the entire secondary. And again, we've competed with them for a number of years. We know a lot of the players through recruiting. They've done a really good job there, and it'll be a battle, no doubt.
Yeah, the last three games, or the last three schedule games, have been pretty memorable. You go back to 2018, that was the Evan Weaver pick six against Jake Haner, who in that game replaced Jake Browning, and Jake Haner coming off a tremendous victory as the Fresno State quarterback against UCLA. So win that ball game 13-10. Then 2 years ago, 2 hours and 39-minute lightning delay, the Bears win that one. So the Bears have won two in a row. Last year, scheduled to be the opener, didn't play because of COVID issues. But this has been a competitive series recently. And go back to that 2019 game. What do you remember about the lightning game up there?
Oh, yeah, that was a unique scenario. It's a late game to start with, and then it got a lot later because of the lightning. And I don't recall, you know, Seattle having a tremendous amount. I know it rains a lot, but there's not usually a lot of lightning storms. We happened to get one at an inopportune time, and we sat in the locker room for almost 3 hours, I think you just said. Yeah. And the guys came out, and it was a battle again, and found a way to get a win. Had some good runs. Second half offense put together some really good drives, and it was a tough game. And what happened in the past really doesn't have any impact. We got two different teams. The dynamics are different. The players are different. And so we are prepared for a battle up there in Seattle.
Yeah, when you look at Jimmy Lake as the head coach, you guys passed through the door, didn't you, at Boise State? Were you leaving Boise State and he was coming in?
Yeah, I can't quite remember the year, but whether it was 1 or 2 years, but I've known Jimmy through kind of common coaching acquaintances for a number of years. And so, known him for a long time. He does a great job. He's a really good coach. And I know a lot of those coaches, you know, offensively as well. And again, they're a lot of respect for what they do. They're going to be a well-coached team. Coach Gregory is the defensive coordinator now, who you all know, and I know very well. So he's an excellent coach. And
He's the guy that got you into this business.
Yeah, he did. He sure did. I mean, I owe Coach Gregory so much, and I played for him, and he took me to Boise State as a grad assistant and then was really the reason I got hired here. So I am forever indebted to Bob Gregory, and he's one of the just finest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, I would second that. He certainly is. I remember him as an outside linebacker. Can't imagine, you know, Bob's not the biggest guy in the world, but he had to play some outside linebacker at Washington State.
Yeah.
Has been a tremendous coach. So are they running Bob Gregory's defense or Jimmy Lake's defense?
Well, you'd have to ask them how they were going to call it. I think you see a lot of similarities in what they've been doing for a number of years, all the way back to Boise State and Pete Kwiatkowski and Coach Gregory and Jimmy, and they all, I'm sure, have had a collaborative effort towards it. But they're very, very good coaches. They're going to put the guys in position, and they got some really good players. And so that makes for a tough opponent, and we're excited to go meet that challenge on Saturday.
All right, Saturday night, a little after 6:30, the kickoff pregame show beginning at 5:30 on the Bears Network. Coach, we appreciate you taking the time. Good luck this week. Hopefully we don't have a lightning delay or anything like that, but we'll see you in Seattle.
Thank you. Go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.